As we prepare to hear the word of God, let us pray together the prayer for illumination. As we hear the reading and interpretation of scriptures today, O Lord, may we find new understandings, challenges, and comforts within it. Amen. Our first reading is Romans 6, verses 12 to 23. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Either of sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. And now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification, and the end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, so we need to remember that Joanna's going to sing first, and then we will sing a verse of 2203, and we will alternate.
Oh,
Our gospel lesson today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 37 to 42. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now you understand why there's a cup of water on the front of the bulletin. Several times this year, we've had people in need stop at the church. They've come at choir time, at worship time, at other times, and they always have a story. And we do our best to help them. We open our hearts and our purses, and we give what we can. We've helped with hotel rooms, food, and rent on the spur of the moment, and we've welcomed them into our midst. And we do this because this is what God wants us to do. God wants us to welcome the poor, the hungry, the hopeless, the stranger into our midst and do what we can to help them. It's there throughout the Old Testament and the New, this call on our lives and our resources to do what we can for others. Here it is again in our scripture for today. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to those little ones in the name of a disciple will not lose their reward. There's not really any question about what we're being called to do here. It's the concept of sheltering the widows and the orphans and the strangers, those who are weaker than we are, or poorer than we are, or alone in an alien land. All of these need our friendship, our compassion, and our support. But sometimes it seems like no matter what you do, it doesn't make a difference. No matter how much you give to someone, it doesn't really help them, or they don't really seem to appreciate it. They come back for more, beginning a seemingly endless cycle of them asking for help and us giving them money. And the next thing you know, there's another crisis and they're back again. Pretty soon we've given them hundreds of dollars and they still have needs and they still have problems. And after a while, we start to think, the cynical part of us starts to think, does this person really need my help? Or are they just looking for some sucker to give them a handout? We might hear that they have at various times visited other churches in our neighborhood, and we might start to think that they're conning us. That they're just people just looking for someone to take advantage of. It doesn't make it any easier when we hear our leaders calling poor people lazy and undeserving. But while that may be true, it really isn't the point, is it? At least not for us who call ourselves Christians. I mean, Jesus didn't say to his disciple and the crowds of people around him, whoever gives a drink of water to someone that they know is not a con man will not lose their reward. Jesus just tells us to do it. Jesus doesn't say give them a drink if we know they deserve it, or let them get their own water. They're only thirsty because they're lazy. Jesus just tells us to do it, to welcome the stranger, to feed the hungry, to give the thirsty a drink of water. And whoever does these things will earn their reward and receive their reward no matter the outcome of their giving. But then we stumble over a couple of problems that there are with these teachings. First of all, most of us have limited resources. We can't, or we think that we can't, throw away what precious little we have on someone or something that isn't worthy. Especially in our culture here in America, we believe that we should get something for what we pay for. And that getting something for nothing doesn't happen to us, so why should it happen for anyone else? We don't have even enough to take care of ourselves. How can we, or why should we, take care of someone else? And then there's the related assumption that people are poor because they choose to be poor. They are either lazy or dishonest and willing to take advantage of an honest, hard-working folk like us. If they would just get a job, they could take care of themselves and leave us alone. They could make more money panhandling or on welfare than if they worked, so they just let us support them. And the bad part of this is that, yes, there are people who will take advantage of us and of the system. There are people who don't want to work or for whatever reason are happy living from handout to handout. There are people who, for whatever reason, live outside of society's rules and seem to expect the rest of us to pay for them. And things were not so different in the time of Jesus. There have always been and always will be those people who just can't seem to take care of themselves for whatever reason. There have always been people willing to make their gains through the losses of someone else. And it was into this atmosphere that Jesus sent out his disciples with nothing, knowing that those who were open to the way of Jesus Christ would be the ones who would accept these itinerant preachers at face value. And so it has become a hallmark of being an authentic disciple of Christ that we open ourselves to all of those who are in need without trying to make judgments about whether or not we think they're deserving. Because the truth is, we can't really see into anyone's heart. All that we know is what is in our own. And if we honestly and with faith open ourselves to those that we meet, even those who are asking something of us, then we will receive the reward of the righteous. Because you never know what difference you're going to make in someone's life just by treating them with dignity and giving their story the benefit of the doubt. When we open ourselves to the ones that seem to be the least deserving, when we offer them a touch of human kindness, such as a cold drink on a hot day, we are fulfilling a part of the call that Jesus has on our lives. Of course, the other side of this is that most of us do only have a limited amount of resources to get ourselves through life, let alone give to someone else. But I think individual giving is important, and it's important to be open to spontaneous giving to help someone who's in need. And not just monetary help, but physical help, like opening your home to someone down on your luck, and to emotional and spiritual help. But it's also vital that we work together to be proactive in the fight against poverty and homelessness. It's important that we partner with other agencies and churches so that our strength is multiplied against the forces of evil in our society that lead people away from living in community with each other, that keep people from living fully authentic human lives without having to worry about where their next meal is coming from or where they're going to sleep at night. We need to fight against things like drug and alcohol abuse that tears apart families and ruins lives. We need to fight against the inhumanity of large corporations that are so consumed with the financial bottom line that they forget about the human cost of large layoffs and low wages. We need to work within our communities to improve mental health services. And did you know that a large percentage of homeless people suffer from some type of mental illness? Many of them are war veterans suffering from PTSD that goes untreated because there aren't enough resources to help everybody. We need to remember that we are the community. We are the government. We are the ones responsible for offering the least of these a drink of water to soothe their weary souls. Every person, Christian and non-Christian, should be concerned about these issues. But we as Christians should be especially concerned because we are called by Christ to be not only concerned, but to act. Friends, you are all generous people, and I encourage you to continue in your generous ways. And I also encourage us to find new ways to work together with groups to fight some of these problems that plague the least of these in our community. And to that end, as I mentioned in the announcements, on Tuesday, July 11th, a week from Tuesday, we're having a mission team and deacon meeting to talk about and hopefully come up with some ideas and strategies that will help us do more than just hand out money to people when they come to our door, but will also help us to walk beside them in some way. Because giving money is fine, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that, but that really isn't necessarily the most helpful thing that we can do. And not only will we feel the satisfaction of making the world a better place, we'll also know what to say and do, so we won't be caught by surprise. But as Jesus tells us, we will also receive the reward of the righteous. Amen.